Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanksgiving is no time to be a killjoy about food. We're not going there. Instead, how about considering our food behavior, especially when it comes to shopping for it, serving it, and opening a fridge full of leftovers? You won't get any lectures from Kusum Alwadi, who I recently heard speak at the TEDx Amaskeg Millyard. She's professor of marketing at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth, and she's done a lot of research on what goes into people's grocery carts using the real-time laboratory of the American supermarket. She and her team captured data from thousands of shopping trips across the country over a four-year period. She's with us to share some of those findings in a practical way before we dig in. Kusum, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia. I'm delighted to be here.
So some of us may still be shopping for Thanksgiving dinner. You caution us to consider the what you call the price promotion effect when doing our laps at the supermarket. So what is that?
So when we go shopping, there are a whole bunch of different things that drive our purchases, what we buy, how much we buy. Some of it is our own characteristics, you know, how educated we are, how aware we are about the nutrition in different kinds of foods, what our income level is, and therefore how much we can afford to spend. But then there are also things that we see in the store. What is stocked, in what shelves, in what are the special displays, what is being priced at a special deal that week. So in our research, I am able to put together all of these different potential drivers of our food shopping and figure out which ones are more versus less important to try and see how what their relative impact is.
So what wins
and
out?
What by far, price and promotions. We are so much more influenced in our shopping by the prices and special deals that we see in the store than any of our own characteristics and our self-control and our health consciousness. So that's both a good thing and a bad thing, right? The bad thing is then if we let prices and promotions dictate to us, we may end up buying things that really are no good for us. But on the other hand, making smart use of promotions is a good way for us to save money and get what we wanted, but to get it at a better price.
One of the most surprising things that you presented in the TED Talk that I saw was the health halo effect. It's kind of related to what we were just talking about. How does that work?
So the health halo bias basically means that we have, as consumers, perceptions about different foods. We think certain foods are good for us and we think certain other foods are bad for us. And those perceptions are quite accurate. So we all know that ice cream and cookies and chips are not particularly good for us. But we also think, to some extent correctly, that yogurt and cereal and milk and cheese are things that are good for us. What the health halo bias means is that we find that people focus much more on the quality of the food, whether it is good for us or not good for us, than they do on the quantity of the food that they eat. So that when they're eating foods that they think are good for them, they end up eating way too much. What we find in our research by looking at people's grocery shopping over a multiple year period is that this health halo bias, which afflicts all of us, but what we find is that the health halo bias is the strongest for those of us who are the most health conscious.
That's interesting. So does that mean that people aren't telling the truth about what they're buying or that they're just kind of deluding themselves?
It's not that people aren't telling the truth. But what we know from many years of research by food researchers, not just me, but several other researchers, is that we are terrible as consumers at figuring out what the right amount is to eat and at estimating what we've actually eaten. So it's not so much that we lie. We really have a hard time estimating how much we ate because we make our estimates of how much we've eaten based on things like the size and the shape of the containers from which we eat. So for example, you put food on a large dinner plate or put soup in a big bowl. We think there is less food in it. And when we eat it all up, we think we have eaten much less than we actually have. So the larger the plates and the bowls, the less food we think there is on them and the more we eat of it. Similarly, if you ask people to pour juice or milk into a glass, they'll pour much more into a short, wide, squat glass than they would in a tall, thin glass. And they'll put more into the short, squat glass, drink it up, and think they drank less. So we have very biased perceptions of the sizes of plates. On top of which, the double whammy is that over the years, the sizes of our dishes have grown humongously.
That's so fascinating because I remember thinking last year, setting the Thanksgiving table, pulling out the little soup bowls that were from my grandmother's china set, and they seemed tiny to me. So maybe
that's
we should maybe we should be eating on Nana's china every day.
Absolutely. Well, certainly for Thanksgiving, it will be a big help to have that special china out. But yes, the more we eat out of Grandma's special china, the better off we are.
Kusum Elwadi is with us. She is a professor of marketing at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. And we're talking a little bit about Thanksgiving eating. This is no finger wagging. You won't hear any tisking from Kusum. She's just talking about how we can be a little bit smarter about how we eat, especially over the holidays. Well, of course, Kusum, what would Thanksgiving be without leftovers? So what does your research tell us about how we eat leftovers?
I've done for many years research on how consumers respond to promotions, as I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is we see something on deal. We think it's a special deal that we may not get tomorrow. We feel smart buying on deal. And we buy either something that we weren't planning or more than we thought we needed because it's a good price. So at Thanksgiving time, when we already have an overabundance of different types of foods that are going to go on the table, perhaps buying on impulse on deal is not the smartest thing to do around Thanksgiving. Make your shopping list, go look for the best deals for the things that you need, and then bring them home and use them. But of course, we will have leftovers. I mean, can you imagine doing all that cooking and then having to cook again the next day?
That's the payoff.
Of course we do. Exactly. But nor do we want all those leftovers and the extra stuff we bought to go into our stomachs over the next 2, 3, 4 days and add even more to the pounds that we're inevitably going to put on during Thanksgiving. So knowing that excess food at home makes us eat more, then the thing to do is to put it away. To put it away so it's not staring us in the face in the refrigerator when we open it, reminding us that it's there to be eaten. Put it into portion-sized baggies. Put it into the back of the freezer. The turkey will stay good for a while. You don't have to make that turkey sandwich the next day. You can make it 2 weeks later.
I wonder what it's like for you when you're sitting around the Thanksgiving table and everybody's digging in. Are you watching their manners? Are you watching how they eat?
Oh, you know, this is where I have to admit, mea culpa. I'm talking the talk. I don't always walk the walk. So I'm digging in just as they are. But no, seriously, Virginia, I think the last 5 years when I've been doing research on people's grocery shopping and learning from their grocery shopping baskets what they actually eat, not just putting them in the lab or asking them questions about it, it's taught me quite a bit about what drives our grocery shopping behavior and therefore what gets put in the house. So yes, I am collecting data points as as I'm sitting around the table.
What do you suggest for us as we charge into this season full of fattening food and drink?
Enjoy it. But try to focus on quantities so that you're not overindulging just because it is there. And remember, it's not just the ice creams and the wonderful pies. It's also the vegetables, which, by the way, are doused in cheese and cream and butter, that also need to be watched. So what I tell myself is enjoy my calories during the holidays from the things that I most enjoy. But then, you know, you have to make it up somewhere else.
Well, Kusum, thank you so much for joining us and happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, Virginia. Thanks for having me.
Kusum Elwadi, professor of marketing at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. You can find links to much more on her research, including articles for the Wall Street Journal and other publications. Their links are at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, a medical device inspired by Star Trek that could change the face of home healthcare. We'll beam that story up when Word of Mouth continues.